even a cursory, shallow, quick read through the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, will show the wonder of the Savior's death upon that tree. Because there it was a triumph for God. God fulfilled his plan. It was a triumph for grace, because this was God's way of bringing mercy to sinners. And of course, it's a triumph for Christ's church. The whole foundation of the good news of the gospel to a world of sinners is the cross.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. We're turning to God's Word here today in Matthew 27, that we might preach the cross of Christ, the day that we call Good Friday. And of course, it's only good if you understand what Christ accomplished in his death at that cross. So let's turn to the Word of God and hear these words from Matthew's Gospel. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him, and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him, and took the reed, and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. Now I hope that today that you will give attention to what our Lord Jesus accomplished at the cross of Calvary. His death was not that of a weak victim, but rather of a mighty conquering Savior, because we know that he defeated death, he defeated the devil, and he purchased redemption for his people. For all who believe in him, they have the gift of grace, full life, salvation, perfect pardon, and to dwell in the presence of God. And of course, we want you to share in that blessing. So stay tuned as we turn now to the pulpit ministry of our church to let the Bible speak on the death of our Lord Jesus.
Well, there's one thing that every one of us can agree upon this afternoon. Why do I say that? Because I'm sure there's something that we don't agree about. But there's one thing that we all agree about. And that is that Easter is the best time of the year. I'm so happy that I live in the Northern Hemisphere. I don't know what Australians do, because this is now coming into their fall. Everything's upside down in that country. I'm told that even the water in the sinks goes the opposite direction. So I'm glad to be in Canada, and I'm glad to be here today to preach the message of the cross. Easter is the time of eggs hatching, of lambs being born, of everything coming alive. 2 weeks ago, the weather was very nice, And I took into sowing some grass seed on my front lawn. I dare not try in the back lawn because that's a whole different matter. But the front lawn, well, last year it burned up in the heat of the summer, and I, being too cheap or too lazy, didn't water it as I should, and therefore there's a few patches that needed grass seed. But of course it turned cold and it hasn't grown at all, but the birds just love it. And every day they're in there feasting and enjoying, and you can see them. They just come alive at this time of the year. And of course, this is the time to notice the world springing around you. If you haven't noticed, you've been too choked up. You need to go out for a good long walk. And even you live in the city in the suburbs, you will still hear the singing of the birds, and you will hear the buzzing and see the buzzing of the insects. Now, this Easter springtime come alive period is a wonderful analogy for preaching the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Because out of his death, out of his sorrow and infinite suffering, has come a miracle of life. And that's what the joy and the wonder of it all is resting upon. Because the cross, well, it never was, but never should be, an emblem of defeat. Oh, those who nailed him there and those who planned his death thought this would be the end of this Jesus that upsets our nice little religious culture. They thought the cross would be the end of him. But little did they know that from all eternity, God planned the cross to be the means of life and victory. The Lord from that cross won the greatest of battles and has purchased victory for everyone that will believe and put their trust in the finished work of that cross. Now, as a Bible reader, you can't miss this. Even a cursory, shallow, quick read through the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, will show the wonder of the Savior's death upon that tree. Because there it was a triumph for God. God fulfilled his plan. It was a triumph for grace, because this was God's way of bringing mercy to sinners. And of course, it's a triumph for Christ's church. The whole foundation of the good news of the gospel to a world of sinners is the cross. The only tragedy of the cross is for hell. Hell is defeated, and all the schemers of darkness have been routed and sent fleeing. And so what a wonderful theme on this Easter Friday to preach on Jesus' victory at the cross. Don't you think so? Anybody say no? It is a theme that ought to fill every heart here today with the greatest excitement. Because, now here comes the points. You may count them. I'm not going to give them to you in advance. Because on that cross, the Lord Jesus fulfilled the scriptures. He was very careful in every one of his pronouncements, in every one of his attitudes to men, and even unto his heavenly Father, that he was there fulfilling the types, the prophecies of the Old Testament scriptures. If you look at verse 34 in Matthew 27, that passage which we read, and now is the time to get your Bible, and please follow along. I want you to see right in your own copy of God's Word that the Lord Jesus on that cross truly did win the victory by fulfilling every detail that was prophesied concerning him. Verse 34 says, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. Now, that's a fulfillment of Psalm 69 and verse 21. Let me read to you. I'll not ask you to look it up, but let me read to you. Psalm 69, 21, written 1,000 years before Calvary. Think of it. Here is this supernatural book written by men moved by the Holy Spirit. Did they know of that which they wrote? Did they uncomprehend that when they wrote these words, that 1,000 years later, that the Son of God who would come from glory, take a human nature and actually bleed and die on a Roman gibbet, that those detailed scriptures of the Old Testament would be fulfilled? Well, let me read to you what was said. Psalm 69, 21, they gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. And here's another prophecy in John 19, where Jesus cried out from that cross, I thirst. Now, when the Lord pronounced that, he was not just using words loosely. He was conscious that this was written of him. And there in the throes of death, he cried out the very words that were written of him. Then in Matthew 27, 35 is another prophecy fulfilled at the cross. We are told they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots. Now you might say that's nothing strange, but look at the rest of the verse. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. And here we have written in to Matthew's gospel text the very words that are cited from Psalm 22. Here's another messianic psalm written all those years prior to the cross in very detailed form. And we read, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And so our Lord Jesus on that cross was victoriously and marvelously fulfilling the details written concerning him. Now, why is that important? Because this book is about Jesus. This book is about the Savior. This Bible from Genesis right through to the end is all about God's Son, the Savior of the world. And if he does not fulfill those details, then we begin to question, did it come together or did it not? Is he the true Messiah Savior or is he not? But in the fact that he fulfilled the very minutiae, the very little dots and jots of Scripture, then we can say, this is the true Messiah who came to save. Now, when they took down the body of the Lord from the cross, we know that Joseph of Arimathea took that body. He pleaded with Pilate that he might have possession of it, that he might give it a burial. And Joseph of Arimathea had the body of our Lord Jesus laid in his own tomb, a rich man's grave. And it had been the prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 53, who prophesied And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. And by the way, Nicodemus was there too. And he had part with Joseph of Arimathea, and they laid the body of Jesus in Joseph's grave, and the scripture was fulfilled so carefully. And you know, this happens all the time. When the Christian Hebrew scholar, a man called Rabinowitz, there's a good Jewish name for you, Rabinowitz, when he came to the book of Zechariah, chapter 12, 10, it says, they shall look upon him and mourn. He was staggered to discover that in the word whom, the pronoun for the Messiah, was the Hebrew first and last letters, the Alpha and the Tav. And then in Revelation 1:9, Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He was staggered. Some of us who have been reading this Bible for all our lives, we read these things and we fail to get excited. But for some who might be learning this for the first time, this is evidence that Jesus is indeed the Son of God from heaven. Do you recognize the supernatural in the sufferings of the Lord Jesus? This was God's foreordained plan and purpose, that his own Son would die on that cross as the Savior of the world. Do you really get that? If not, you're lost. If not, you have no good news. You have no Savior. And you need to waken up to the reality that this Bible, this revelation from heaven, this amazing book, is all about Jesus. And you need to read it. And you need to accept what this book says about Christ. Now, I move on. We come to the Lord triumphing in the cross by making complete payment for sin. He cried out on the cross, "It is finished." And this was after the hours of darkness and after the suffering for sin in our place. Those 3 hours of darkness were over. And if you look at verse 45, you will see the reference to this eclipse at Calvary, where the sun ceased to shine. And it says, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour." And it was during those hour of darkness, those 3 hours, that our Lord paid for sin. Who was he paying? Pilate? No. Was he paying the Roman system? No. There was now a contract between the Father and the Son. And the Son came to be the representative of sinners, you and me. And on that cross, Jesus became the sin bearer. And God, in his righteous judgment, poured wrath upon his own Son. He turned his back on Jesus. The sun ceased to shine. And there in those hours, our Lord Jesus paid it all. Now the darkness lifted. The sun again shone. And we know that because in verse 46, we see here about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there when they heard that said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway, I want you to look at verse 48 now. And straightway, one of them ran. Now, what does that mean? It means he was no longer in the darkness. You couldn't run in the darkness. But when the darkness lifted and the sun shone, then you can run. Because the judgment is over. It's gone. And down in verse 50, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. My point is that he did not die in the judgment. He did not die of the judgment. He went through the judgment, finished the payment. The load was lifted. The light began to shine. And then Jesus gave up the ghost or his spirit. And at that very moment, the veil in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And it was in that hour that the victory was won, the price was paid, and the way back to God is opened up. And you may now come to God. There is a way to the Father through the death of the Lord Jesus. He has opened up that way for us. And so you might be asking the question, did he succeed? Was our Lord Jesus successful in his death? Absolutely. Because he made full and complete payment for sin. And so sinners may draw near and come believing and receiving the grace of God. Think of it. No more hell for me. That's what this means. Never, never. Never will a sinner who puts his trust in the finished work of Christ at the cross ever taste a drop of the judgment of hell, because Jesus drank it all. The cup of wrath is empty, and you are delivered. Now, if you come to Christ, give him your heart, trust in his finished work at the cross, your sins are gone, and you are free to worship God through the way of the cross.
I want to thank you for tuning in and joining with us on the program, and I hope that you have heard words of life. And please take these things to heart, because Christ died at the cross to save you. He calls sinners. He calls all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. Do not shy away, but come personally and put your own trust in the Lord Jesus. I would even ask you to pray, "Lord, open my eyes and make me to see. Lord, lead me to the place of peace with God." If you can't pray that, you are in a terrible state. May the Lord in grace today lead you to personal saving faith in the Lord Jesus.
Calvary's tree, he hung there and bled there.
You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you will find it on our podcast on iTunes. Search for Let the Bible Speak podcast. Or you can find our programs archived by program date on our website. There you can search for sermons and articles to help you know God's way of salvation and live the Christian life. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. If you've been blessed through the Lord's Word today, and if I can be of personal help to you, please feel free to call me, Ian Gallagher, at 604-576-1091. For information on our Free Presbyterian Church in Scarborough at Nielsen and Finch, you can contact Dr. Larry Saunders at 416-297-1212 or go to the church website www.torontofpc.ca. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Barrie, call Reverend Anthony Dederno at 416-305-4274. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Port Hope, contact Reverend Reggie Cranston at 905-885-2240 or click on porthopefpc.org. You will be welcome at any of their Sunday services at 11 a.m. or 6 p.m. May the Lord bless you with saving faith in our Lord Jesus. As the Savior of sinners, He is able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. Be sure to join us again at this time next week here on Joy Radio when, once more, we let the Bible speak.